Jesus said in the text today, the Good Shepherd text, today we often talk about Good Shepherd Sunday. He talked about, I have another flock. I have other sheep who are not of this flock. And they know my voice, they hear it. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. And Jesus was talking to the Israelites, the Pharisees, the people who are gathered around, the insiders. But he was saying, look, there's going to be outsiders too. But Jesus was crucified, he died, he was buried, he rose from the grave, and he ascended into heaven. And where his flock didn't grow very much. He didn't fulfill his promise in that time period. Until he sent his Spirit. And so this week, next week, and the following week, we're going to be hearing about God fulfilling Jesus' promise to make us all one flock under one shepherd. The whole world, one flock under one shepherd. And we hear the story of its beginnings in Acts with John and Peter going to the temple. And think about the book of Acts. This is what it's called. Properly, it's named the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the ones sent out. The actions of the followers of Jesus. But I don't want you to think about it quite in that limited sense. I want you to think about it as the actions of God's Spirit. The actions of God's Spirit working in, with, and under, and through the apostles. Every time you read the book of Acts from this point forward, I want you to just insert the Acts of God's Spirit in that title. I want you to remember that, the Acts of God's Spirit. Because it's always God's Spirit moving through these people to do these amazing things, just as Jesus promised would happen, to fulfill the prophecy that Jesus said, that there's going to be one flock, one shepherd. And so today we have amazing story, a story maybe we've only heard once before about how the power of the Spirit does an amazing thing with Peter and John. An action of the Spirit. And the thing that I want you to think about as you hear this story, I'm going to tell it again from the beginning because we only got a little snippet of it today in the scripture reading. The thing I want you to remember, the golden kernel I want you to take home from this sermon today is that God's Spirit, the same Spirit that gave Peter and John boldness and the power to heal, the same Spirit that gave them courage to stand in front of the Sanhedrin and proclaim Jesus' name, the same Spirit is in you today, right now. God's Spirit is in you today, right now. And that the Acts of the Apostles didn't end at the last chapter of the book of Acts. But the Acts of the Apostles is being written right now in your life. In your life, the Acts of God's Spirit is continuing. The Bible didn't stop being written. You're writing it right now. You're writing Holy Scripture. Why? Because God's Holy Spirit is in you. And the things that you do in Christ's name, as you will hear in this story, is God's holy action, the Acts of the Apostles. The Bible continues, my brothers and sisters, with your life as God works in you. So let's listen to this story for some inspiration. Inspiration just means inspirited, right? So it was the hour of prayer, just kind of like this, one Jerusalem day, and Peter and John were going to pray at the temple, just like you did this morning. And there was a man born from birth who was lame. His legs did not work from birth. And everyone knew this because he came to the temple every day, and his neighbors and relatives would lay him there on the steps, and he would sit there And he would ask for money, and people would come by when they were going to prayer, and they would give him money, and he would make his living that way. Until this day, Peter and John come and see him. The scripture notes that they looked at him intently. God's Spirit in Peter and John saw this man who hundreds, thousands of people had walked by. They looked at him intently. And they said to the man who was lame, "Look at me. Look at us." And so he looked at them. "Okay, I'll look at you. Hi." Because he was hoping to get something to eat or some money or something. And they said, Peter said to him, "In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And he stood up, and his legs were strengthened, and he walked. And he began running around the temple, full of the Spirit, proclaiming the praises of God. He came back to Peter, gave him a big hug, came to John, gave him a big hug. He was clinging to them. He was holding onto their clothes. And the crowd, who knew this man very well because they had seen him for the last 40 years laying there on the steps of the temple, they came running and they say, "Who is this man? This is the guy who was lame all these years. He's walking around. What's going on with this?" And they came to Peter and they came to John and they said, "How is this done? Did you do this?" And Peter and John said, No. Don't think that by my power or my piety that any of this happened, but by the name of Jesus Christ, the one who you thought had died, the one you thought had been killed, the very one who out of your ignorance you crucified, this is the one that God glorified by raising him from the dead. This is the one whom God has given us the name of salvation, for salvation comes through him, and you have seen it here in front of your very faces. This man that you know, who is walking around. And they were astounded. But things of that nature, done in the faces of the authorities that be, was not very well accepted. And so here come the soldiers. Here come the religious leaders and the authorities to say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, no healing in God's temple. That's just not acceptable." They come on. They arrest Peter and John. Now, here's the fun bit of this story. Here's where we get a little justice. Because just a few weeks ago, on Palm Sunday, on Passion Sunday, on Good Friday, on Maundy Thursday, we hear about these famous guys, Caiaphas and Annas, the high priest, the religious leaders, the highest authority in the religious landscape, the supreme court of all Israel is assembled. These are the guys who signed Jesus' death warrant. These are the guys who thought they had handled the problem of Jesus. These are the guys who thought, "We are finished, problem solved, boom, done." Until John and Peter show up on their doorstep, literally, and heal this man in the name of Jesus Christ. And so they bring Peter and John into the courtroom and they say, "By what power have you done this?" And then we get to today's text, where it says, Peter, filled with the Spirit. This is very important to remember. Peter, filled with the Spirit. Why is this important? It's because in Luke and in other places, Jesus himself said, "You will be taken before the judges and the tribunals and the councils and the Sanhedrin. You will be put on trial. You will be arrested. But do not worry. When you are put on trial, do not fret, do not be afraid, because the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say that none will be able to refute." And here it is coming to pass. Here it is coming to pass that the Holy Spirit, Christ's presence, God's word that spoke through the prophets, through Moses, through Jesus, is now even speaking through Peter to the very men who condemned Jesus to death. And so they get their comeuppance, as it were, when he says, "If you are accusing me and talking to me about the man who was lame for 40 years and is now healed, and you are asking me by what power is this done, I will tell you by what power it is done. The man who you killed, Jesus Christ, the man who God anointed, his Messiah, his Savior, that man, the man who you thought was dead, he indeed has risen from the dead, and it is by his name that I have healed this man. And it is by his power that he is walking around." Now, you have to imagine how they heard that. I mean, this is like, what? This is the powers that be encountering the risen Christ. Encountering a power that's more powerful than their power, the power of God's Spirit at work in the world, the power that cannot be contained, the power that cannot be wiped out, the power of God's Spirit that cannot be brushed aside or forgotten. He's saying, he lives. His power for good and healing is loose in the world. And they say to each other, "You're right, he's right. This guy, he was healed, and we don't know how to explain it, and we can't tell them to go away because this is obvious." They couldn't refute him. They say, "Don't tell anybody about this. Please, don't tell anybody about this. It would make us look bad." And Peter says, "Well, I'll tell you with this. I could listen to you or I could listen to God. I'll let you judge which is better." And they leave. They let him go. We cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard. Is Peter's final words. We cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. The acts of the apostles, the acts of God's Spirit. The healing hasn't stopped. The speaking about the risen Christ, our Savior, hasn't stopped. The refuting those who would want to contain the Spirit and Christ's work hasn't stopped. The writing of the Acts of the Apostles hasn't stopped. The same Spirit that spoke through Peter is speaking through you. The same presence of God that was with Peter in front of those who killed Jesus is in you. You, my brothers and sisters, continue the Acts. And in you, the acts continue. So we'll be hearing about how we are doing this week, next week, and the third week as we hear the acts of God's Spirit and are reminded that that is our God here and now. In us. Amen.